This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
A very difficult schedule with the intention of thinking that we'll have, you know, one of our best teams and that we've ever had here. And anytime you lose a player of her magnitude, it does change your season. It does change who you are. So it is going to be a challenge, but we're going to have other players do more. And there's going to be games where that are, you know, incredibly challenging. And this is just, you know, we're talking about non-conference games as well as the Big 12. And the Big 12 is the number one ranked league in the country and in women's basketball. 8 teams last year, guys, made the NCAA tournament in the Big 12, and all 8 of those teams won NCAA tournament games. So, and 3 other teams won NIT games, and everybody returns a lot of people. So, even though we return a lot from this year, we knew it was going to be a challenge going into the season, and when you don't have your best player, it will be even a greater challenge for us. But, you know, we stay positive, and we try to work every day to get better.
Do you talk to Doc about the schedule at all, maybe getting some non-conference teams for them?
Well, we have scheduled a little bit differently from that standpoint. But we have a good schedule, and I like to talk about our schedule. Our non-conference schedule includes LSU, who was in the Final Four each of the last 5 years, either 4 or 5 years. We're playing on the road. We play Ohio State. They've won the Big Ten the last, I believe, 4 or 5 years again. We play at New Mexico, who New Mexico is the best, has been historically the best team in the Mountain West, one of the toughest places to play in the country. We play at UTEP. UTEP was in the NCAA tournament and won a first-round game in the NCAA tournament returns, a terrific team. I can go on and on. We play at Creighton. Creighton was just picked second in the Missouri Valley. We play Oral Roberts, who was a team in the NCAA tournament last year. I'm skipping somebody here, but that's a pretty good non-conference schedule. And then you throw on top of it, we play Arizona State, mind you, here at home on the 28th of December, who is one of the top 3 teams in the Pac-10. So our schedule is very difficult, we do that because I like the challenge, and I think our players, that's why they came here. They came here to play against great competition, and that's, they're going to have that challenge this year, and we may not be, you know, have all of our bullets in the gun, but we're going to do the best we can with who we have.
Well, tomorrow night it's an exhibition game at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island, tipping off at 7:05 between Nebraska and UNK. And I guess the only thing I think of while we're doing this interview is if things don't go well with Kelsey, right there at Nebraska, John Cook lost the Player of the Year and Christina Hoteling to an injury, and they went on and won a national championship.
They sure did, and they also had about 12 high school All-Americans on the team. So, you know,
go see
so
if you
we
can
hope
borrow
that
some.
We hope that we have some players who will step forward and be able to compete at that level.
Connie, a great job with the program as always. We sure appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck throughout
right.
the season.
You guys are trying to keep me positive. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Welcome, Connie. Thanks so much for the time. As you know, Daddy, obviously, I talking about that Nebraska volleyball, definitely different levels here. But, you know, if Kelsey Griffin's out, you can tell that just kind of destroys everything that Nebraska had set up for this season. They got the tougher schedule for a reason, and now you're talking about an all-Big 12 player and a possible All-American. I'm not saying first-team All-American, but possible All-American in Kelsey Griffin. And if she's not there, there's nobody to take her place, and all of a sudden things really change, and you're looking to try to get to 500. They're picked to finish 8th in the conference, and that was with Kelsey Griffin.
Well, and you're looking, maybe your whole style of play has to change. I mean, maybe you go from being that half-court team, and now we've got to run because we're a smaller lineup. You know, maybe we don't have the inside game. You know, now we've got to shoot more three-pointers. And if those girls can't come in and hit them on that stage, it's just a long year, especially with that schedule.
Well, we'll have to see tomorrow night, 7:05. You can contact the Heartland Events Center for ticket information. Go time, 7:05 tomorrow. We're going to go to the Nebraska press conference and hear from Bo Pelini at the top of the hour. And we're going to catch up with Lee Bartnick here in just a couple of moments after we take a break. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia right around the corner. Stay with us.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
Right now, Verizon Wireless has the latest Motorola phones everyone wants to get their hands on, like the exclusive touchscreen Crave. It's Bluetooth headset and easy navigator ready. Or grab onto the feature-rich new Rapture, a sleek flip phone with a 2.0 megapixel camera with digital zoom and video capture. For high-tech phones at terrific prices, switch to America's most reliable wireless network at any Verizon Wireless communication store, Verizon Wireless at Circuit City, VerizonWireless.com, or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN.
OnStar versus that new place. Sure, you can find your way to the places you always go, but what about that new Italian place with the great rigatoni? That new dog park you passed? That new place with a used piano you want to check out? With OnStar turn-by-turn navigation, the simplest and smartest navigation system, just push the blue button and the advisor can help you find that new place, or any place. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. Turn-by-turn not available in certain areas.
Hi, this is Nebraska Assistant Coach Ron Brown encouraging you to attend the FCA Central Nebraska Sports Banquet Tuesday evening, November 11th at the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. Special guests include Husker football player Roy Helu, Husker volleyball player Amanda Gates, and the founder of FCA, Don McLennan. For table sponsor and ticket information, contact Vanessa Green of Home Federal Bank at 308-398-4941. That's 308-398-4941.
May I have your attention, please? The Big Apple Sports Bar would like to once again introduce you to the original and really the biggest TV in Kearney, possibly the state. The 7-foot by 13-foot HD projection screen TV. You have got to see it to believe it. So get to the Big Apple and check out this TV for all the Husker and NFL games this season. Enjoy great food and drink specials while you watch this huge TV. Only at the Big Apple Fun Center in Kearney.
People are talking about the Doug and Daddy blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Daddy blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo.
Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Daddy blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think.
Every Friday, Doug and Daddy's College Football Pick'em can win you a gift certificate to Johnny Casinos. Between 11 and noon every Friday during the football season, Johnny Casinos, west side of the Conestoga Mall, reminding you that what goes on during parts of Doug and Daddy is brought to you by Johnny Casino.
We'll see partial sun along with some cloudiness developing as we head through the day today with high temperatures around 69. South winds will also stay gusty at 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, there's a slight chance for a shower or thunderstorm developing late with lows of 54 degrees. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trobley. Right now, 61.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life and I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars.
From the Green Party, Lee Greenwood. Doug and Daddy Show, it's election day. Get out and make sure you do it, folks. Don't forget, if you don't, you're a turkey. And if you know someone or something that strikes you as a total turkey, you can nominate them for Doug and Daddy's Turkey of the Week. All you have to do is email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, and you might win a 15-pound smoked turkey for the holidays from Schroeder's Smoke Foods in Shelton. So if you want to nominate somebody for a turkey, well, I've been nominated. Hey, Stooges, Derek is Larry. So that's you. So I will let you two figure out who is Mo and who is Curly. It should be obvious. Wow. Anyway, I will nominate Doug for Turkey of the Week for those awesome football picks. Those were truly spot on. Way to go. Yeah, 1-9 straight up this weekend. A couple of random thoughts here from the mailman. He says, Pittsburgh is looking pretty good even though they are beat up. Even Leftwich looks good. When is Jerry Jones going to sign a decent backup? Not. They're waiting on Tony Romo to come back. They're not going to go get anybody, are they, Tony? I mean, they're not going to go get anybody.
No, but I'm thinking he's going back to before the season. Is Brad Johnson, do you really think he's the answer? Brooks Bollinger? When you look at Brooks Bollinger, where's he from?
You didn't think Brad Johnson would be this bad, did you?
I guess you didn't think he'd be this bad, no. Okay. But when you go down the step further, Brooks Bollinger, where are you from, Brooks? Wisconsin. No, you're off the team. You're not an option. Justin Coleman right now would be a better option than Brooks Bollinger.
He goes on to say, hey, I stand behind Bo for not letting the wolves of the media pounce on our players and coaches after the performance Saturday. I like the way he's standing up and being accountable for our team, something that was missing the last few years. Oklahoma's a very fine football team, and remember where they were 10 years ago. Stoops didn't bring them back overnight. Yeah, 2 years. The game this weekend with Kansas should be a good one. Mangino's team is a lot like ours. Moments of hitting on all cylinders and moments of total brain farts. Or blanks. Hopefully the Jayhawks will eat a lot of beans Friday. Finally, how do you two experts feel about the verbal commitments the football team has had so far this year? Have a great day. Go vote.
You know what?
You can save that for Turkey of the Week, Derek. Save that for Turkey of the Week. Appreciate that.
As far as the commitments we've got so far, obviously the one that stands out is the quarterback, Cody Green. And if you're going to fall into the hype, he must be a pretty good one. But haven't we learned our lesson on that?
Yeah.
Isn't it just no comment, wait and see approach?
We'll talk with Lee Barfneck from the Omaha World Herald about that, about Texas Tech, and about where the Huskers stand coming up in just a little bit. But it is Tuesday. Bo Pelini at the top of the hour. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, then you are eligible. Call now, 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-3776. We've been talking some basketball, and Daddy has some basketball questions for you today on a Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. The winner, a $25 gift card to see Carrie and the gang at Troutman's. Great tailgating food, great food day, night, breakfast. You want bacon. Lunch, you want the best USDA ground chuck there is around. And in the evening, you grill yourself a steak. Let's go to the phone lines on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning. Who are we chatting with?
It's Mark from Minden, fellas.
All right, Mark, here we go. Daddy has the trivia questions for today concerning NCAA basketball.
Mark Tyler Hansborough, the 6'9" senior and reigning National Player of the Year, was placed on all 72 ballots. This is the same media panel that selects the weekly top 25. Who was the last unanimous pick?
Yikes. Tim Duncan.
Great guess. That is not correct.
Thanks, Mark. See you tonight. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Mark from Holdridge.
Mark, Daddy's got a trivia question for you.
Tyler Hansborough is the reigning National Player of the Year. Who is the last reigning National Player of the Year that returned to college?
No clue.
Thanks, Mark. Beat it.
1-888-455. Not even a guess, huh, Tony? 1-888-455-ESPN. Back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
Nick.
Nick, Daddy has a question for you.
Nick, I'm going back to the preseason team that was selected before. This all took place. It started in 86-87. The last unanimous pick, other than Tyler Hansborough, was this guard.
Don't know.
Nick, thanks for trying. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
Aaron from Kearney.
Aaron, Daddy has a question for you.
Aaron, I'm going back to that same question, but I'm going to throw you another bone here. You can get one of two players. The last unanimous pick was this guard, and the last repeat selection was this guard.
Darren Williams from Illinois?
No.
Thanks for trying, Aaron. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
Brett.
Hi, Brett. Who was the last National Player of the Year to return to college?
No clue.
Beat it.
Another nerd. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
Rocky, south side of air.
Yeah! All right, Tony, what's the trivia question?
I'm going right back there, Doug. Tyler Hansborough is a reigning National Player of the Year. Who was the last reigning National Player of the Year to return to college?
Michael Jordan.
That's incorrect.
No, he
took off.
Yeah, he took off. Thanks for the call, Rock. 1-888-455.
But you're on the right path there with that one.
Getting warmer. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show, who are we chatting with?
Oh, no, this is Derek.
Uh-oh. Derek, go ahead, Daddy. Yeah. What's your guess? What's your question?
Who was the last unanimous pick?
Oh, man, the guy just took my Jordan guess. Uh, it wouldn't have been Jameer Nelson.
No, but that's a nice guess. That's a really good guess.
Thanks for the call. 1-888-455-ESPN. Doug and Daddy Show, who we got chatting with us?
Scott from Shelton.
Scott from Shelton. Daddy, fire the question.
Who was the last reigning National Player of the Year to return to college?
Let's try Paul Pierce.
No.
Another good guess. Wow. We've got him stumped today. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you're eligible. Give us a buzz. 1-888-455-ESPN. Back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Rich from Loop City.
Let's go to Loop City. Daddy, fire.
Rich, who was the last unanimous pick? Was this guard? And the last repeat selection? Give me one of the two.
J.J. Redick, I don't know.
No, but a great guess.
Daddy thought you were onto something there. So let's keep going. Back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show, who's taking a guess?
Corey from Kearney.
Corey, Daddy's got the question for you.
The last reigning National Player of the Year
that returned
to college is who?
Bobby Hurley?
No.
That's not right. Wow. Wow. It's such a good question. I hate to give clues. Back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show, who we chatting with?
Keith.
All right, Keith. Daddy, which one are you throwing at him?
You know what? I'm going to go back to the preseason team. This all started 86 to 87, so it's relatively present. I want people to know that. The last unanimous pick was this guard.
Jason Williams from Duke.
You are absolutely correct. Yeah. Great work. Yeah. Stay on the line. The last repeat selection, by the way, was Michigan State guard Mateen Cleaves, 99 and 2000. And the National Player of the Year to return, Shaquille O'Neal returned to LSU.
90 and 91. We'll turn you back over to Derek. He'll get your information. Congratulations. Corey from Kearney getting the win that time around. That's a great one. We'll take a break. Be back with Lee Parfnack of the Omaha World Herald after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We turned down the volume on all the radios in the building during this hour so as not to irritate the boss.
Stiff neck or an aching back is preventing you from working out, playing with your kids, or just enjoying special events? Salon Pause can help. Salon Pause. They're medicated patches that provide fast and sustained relief right where you need it most. No more stiff neck or aching back. Just lasting relief. Get back to enjoying the life you deserve with Salon Pause. Available at major drugstores, membership warehouses, and local pharmacies.
S-A-L-O-N-P-A-S. Salon Pause. Be more active.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to GEICO. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who am I to judge?
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see partial sun along with some cloudiness developing as we head through the day today with high temperatures around 69. South winds will also stay gusty at 10 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, there's a slight chance for a shower or thunderstorm developing late with lows of 54 degrees. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trobley. Right now, 61.
Saving Silverman on a lot this weekend. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Coming up tomorrow, Huskerland Prep Report, Bob Jensen will join us. Later on in the week, we're going to catch up with Micah Brown, former Kearney High athlete, now playing for the University of Kansas. Friday. Bob Davis from the Kansas Radio Network and, of course, with the Kansas City Royals is going to join us. Also Thursday, our NFL Power Rankings. Friday, Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em. Also, Daddy's College and NFL Selections.
You won't want to miss those.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Thursday, we will also be catching up with UNK Cross Country Coach Brady Bonzel because we've got a lot going on with a huge regional coming into town this weekend, and he'll fill us in on that as well. So all that, and who knows what else. We've got the high school football playoffs. We'll be getting into those, as we said, with Bob Jensen tomorrow, and, of course, Thursday, recap of what's going on. And going to effort Jeff Tomlin from Grand Island as well and see if we can have him on by the end of the week.
Looking forward to that. And, Doug, obviously, we before the press conference, we like to go down to Lincoln and get a view from one of the sports writers, and we look forward to talking to Lee Barfneck, Romo World Herald.
Yeah, he's going to join us here in just a second. But we got all of our giveaways taken care of the day, but we want to remind you folks that the best opinions on hot topics, Daddy, let them know about this.
Well, it's pretty simple. You present us a hot topic, or you think we brought up a hot topic and you want to expand on it, you qualify for a SunHeat Systems. It's energy efficient. It's a space heater, people. We're giving away one every week. You listen, 11 to noon, your SunHeat Systems hot topic opinion might lower your heating bills by the hundreds. It's that easy. It's that easy.
It is press conference day in Lincoln. We'll hear from Bo Pelini coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. But as we always like to do before we get into the press conference, we like to get a little preview with one of the many folks that joins us from time to time on the Doug and Daddy Show. And not only is he following Nebraska, but he's on the Big 12 beat, and he was at the game of the week, Tony.
Yeah, Lee Barfneck joins us from the Omaha World Herald. He was at Texas Tech, Texas. Lee, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. And obviously people want to know the excitement level that was in that stadium. Talk about it.
It was crazy. That's the only way to put it. It truly was the biggest game in their 84-year history of football down there. And Texas Tech, I think, finally proved that they've made a real move up instead of being just kind of a middle-level program and a program that doesn't get past the 8 or 9 win mark. They had a great victory, basically controlled the game for the first three quarters. Texas has proved they're a great team, too, by coming back and taking the lead. But one of the greatest finishes I've ever seen. And I'm sure they're still celebrating, but they better not celebrate too much because they got their hands full this week, too.
Well, Lee, that's been kind of the talk here. I know it was already the talk Sunday morning and onto the show yesterday a little bit. In your mind, who do you actually think is the better team? Sometimes if a team wins, they don't necessarily think they're the better team. Is Texas Tech the better team?
You know, I try to apply it to if those teams played each other 10 times, you know, who would win the most. I still think Texas and Oklahoma State are the two best teams in this league. That doesn't mean that that's going to pan out the right way, and it doesn't mean that these teams aren't going to beat each other so bad nobody will get to play for the national title. But I think Texas was probably a little bit better than Texas Tech, and I really am a believer in Oklahoma State with what they've done. So, but that's not in any way to diminish what Texas Tech accomplished the other night. And boy, with what Oklahoma did in Nebraska the other night, you wouldn't want to play them a whole bunch of times either. So it's just great, great football being played in the Big 12 this year.
Well, Lee, obviously that means in my mind that you're ranking Texas, Oklahoma State, then Texas Tech, then Oklahoma if you were ranking?
That right now I would, yes. Yep.
Lee Barfneck from the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking big picture before we get into the Husker game. As you look at what's going on here, you mentioned the Big 12 could beat each other up the wrong way and end up being left out of the national title hunt. Do you think that's a chance if somebody of who's left has just the one loss? Say Texas Tech gets beat. We went down to the tiebreaker 6 or 7 deep. It would seem to me like Oklahoma would probably win the tiebreaker if they don't lose out.
Well, it depends on if there's a three-way tie, depends on which three teams it is. So, but yeah, I think it would eventually go down to the fifth step, which would be the BCS rankings that week before the Big 12 championship game to see which team would represent the South. So, in some ways, Oklahoma may be in the best spot because they might be able to not go to the Big 12 championship game, but yet still play in the BCS title game. That's happened before. And sometimes by sitting on the sidelines for that last week, you can move yourself up enough that you can sneak in the back door and get into that game. So there's just so much to be done. I mean, there's so much differential to happen with the computers between now and the fourth week of November that's really kind of hard to speculate at this point. But all those teams are really going to be right in the mix.
And, Lee, once again, all of a sudden we find that maybe the North hasn't caught up to the South. That's been the big talk the last week.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, last year was a little bit of a blip. Missouri and Kansas had their, you know, their best seasons in 40 years and kind of helped the North improve their stature a little bit. But even last year, they're only, out of the 19 games, the North won 10 and the South won 9. This year, boy, it's really struggling. And then even, you know, Missouri almost lost to Baylor the other day. So it just looks like there's been a fundamental shift in this league. There's so much money and so much prestige in the South and the big stadiums, the ability to sustain what they're already doing and with the weather and the recruiting advantages they have, it's really going to be difficult for the North teams to catch up. Now, the good news for Nebraska fans is that it's easier for Nebraska to dominate the North, I think, once they get their program rerouted here. And that helps Nebraska, but I'm not sure as a conference what value there is to having a one division that's so far behind the other one.
Lee, within the last about 48 hours, Mac Brown has come out and made a statement about the safety issue at the end of that game. Was it a safety concern? Did people realize that on Saturday night?
Well, I was concerned for my safety, I'll tell you that. that was as scared as I've been since being at the Colorado State game where I got tear gassed after the game. So, I mean, it was nuts. I mean, there was no on-field security. The students were jumping over the fence and right down on the sidelines, right next to the Texas players on the Texas bench at the end of the game. I thought that was a really dangerous situation. I think it's fortunate we've come to learn there really weren't many incidents, if hardly any, on the field after the game, other than just some pushing and shoving. So, but it's difficult, and part of that is that Texas Tech has not hosted a game of that magnitude before. They may not have really truly understood, you know, kind of what needs to be done in that situation. Part of the growing a program is growing into how to learn to manage events of that magnitude. So, I mean, it was scary. It really was. A lot of people have been partying down in Lubbock since the Monday before, and clearly with a 7 o'clock kickoff, there were lots of folks that were not dehydrated by the end of the game. So it was kind of crazy. It really was.
Well, I know Daddy had been prepping since Monday. I don't know what that was all about. Lee Barfneck joins us from the Omaha World Herald. We've got to get a couple comments on Nebraska. They get ready for Kansas. Lee, we talked a little bit yesterday, and I made the comment while this was going on Saturday that I thought really this Oklahoma game was the most insignificant big-picture game for Nebraska all year long. And a lot of people take a minute to digest that. But I'm saying nobody expected Nebraska to beat Oklahoma, and by beating Oklahoma, you know, maybe it gives you a glimmer of winning the North, but I didn't see that happening either. So we move on and just totally forget this like Bo Pelini says, or is there more to it?
No, I really believe that's the case. I mean, to me, the whole key for Nebraska was not getting anybody injured Saturday and just moving on and trying to win these last three games. It's the talent differential between Oklahoma and Nebraska at this point is so great. That would have been one of the monumental upsets of the season, if not of several seasons, for Nebraska to have gone down there and won. Now, clearly, when you're behind 35-0 after the first quarter, you feel terrible about it, but we know Oklahoma's good enough to do that to people, and they've done that to a lot of people. So, really the idea is to go on, move on, get to bowl eligibility, get to 7 or 8 wins, and get to a bowl game. And I think that still qualifies as an excellent season for after what this new coaching staff picked up from the old staff. If they've got to get to a bowl game and get back into that conversation, get the extra practices, that should be the whole focus right now.
Lee, for me to sit here and think Nebraska's going to go 3-0 in its last three games, am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. Saturday's game will be very difficult. Kansas is very, very well coached, very tough-minded. Their defense is not as good as it's been the last couple of years, and they've had a couple of injuries. I think it's a very somewhat evenly matched game. Surely going to help the Nebraska's playing at home, but that's not bothered Kansas. Even though Kansas hasn't won up here since '68, the last two times they very easily could have won in Lincoln. So, And Todd Reesing is the kind of quarterback that gives, you know, Nebraska some trouble. He's not a great runner, but he can do enough stuff with his feet and really avoid pressure and put a lot of pressure on one-on-one matchups in the secondary, and that's not been a strength for Nebraska. So this will be a game, a real critical game, probably more critical for Kansas than Nebraska, because Nebraska having K-State and Colorado to finish up the season with, they can grab a couple wins there. But, you know, everybody in Nebraska wants to finish 3-0 here.
Lee, your thoughts on where Nebraska is right now?
Well, I think they've clearly made progress this year, and it's clear that Bo Pelini's, as a first-year head coach, has done a lot of good things, and he's also made some mistakes. There's growing pains with what he's going through. There's growing pains with the systems that they're trying to install. Clearly, if they get to a bowl game, it's a successful season. If they get to 7 or 8 wins, that's a little bit of icing on the cake. And, if this team would happen to win its last 3 games, get to 8-4 and go to a bowl game and win a bowl and end up 9-4, I think people ought to be jumping up and down about that. After the mess that was inherited, I think there's a lot of things to be, hopeful about.
Lee, for all the 4- and 5-star recruits, how come we got 5 walk-ons playing in the defensive backfield?
Well, everybody who's paying money to those websites to read about the recruits, I hope they enjoy throwing their money down the drain. That's what I believe. So, I mean, all that stuff is baloney. It really is. I mean, I'm amazed. I guess I'm not amazed because people tend to look at the internet, everything on there is gospel truth. But, I mean, there's nothing more that has borne this out more than the way that Notre Dame has struggled with all their highfalutin recruiting classes, the way that Nebraska has struggled after getting all these alleged great players. Just getting a player on campus is only the first step. You've got to develop that player and then deploy them in the right way. And you've got to coach. These are college kids. They have to be coached. They have to be taught. And obviously that didn't happen the 4 previous years, and that stuff is starting to be righted right now.
Lee Barfneck from the Omaha World Herald. Lee, always appreciate the insight. We'll see you in Lincoln on Saturday.
Great. Doug and Danny, take care.
Thanks, Lee. Lee Barfneck from the Omaha World Herald joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, he keeps mentioning the previous regime. We're sitting there watching NFL Sunday Ticket, the Jets game. Who'd they beat again?
The Bills.
Okay. And they're showing Brett Favre, and you just kind of catch a glimpse of him. There he is.
Oh, I caught a major glimpse out of him.
Bill Callahan on the sidelines, and you know what he was doing? That same thing he always did in Lincoln. Looking up at the sky with that half yawn going, what am I doing here? What's going on? What am I doing here?
That's exactly right. And then I had to hurl some expletives at the TV.
Oh, man. We sure miss him, don't we?
No.
We sure miss him. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Fire something off to the Dent Popper inbox to get in on the hot topic or even the turkey of the week, and we can get you put up for some of the prizes we're giving away. A Sun Heat System, a 15-pound smoked turkey from Schroeder's. It's all there for you. And coming up on the program, Bo Pelini's press conference after this.
All right, look, Doug and Daddy don't work for beer and pretzels. Well, they did for the first 3 months until somebody told them that they should be paid. Well, anyway. They'll be back after these commercial messages. You spend a lot of hours in that old tractor planting, tilling, and fertilizing. Just like you, Stadler Implement spends a lot of time with after-sales service. Look at their line of Kinze, Kraus, and Sukup tillage equipment. When it's time to fertilize, Stadler Implement carries the Demco 3-point or pole-type chemical applicators. Carl and his staff also service well engines with tune-ups and overhauls. Isn't it nice to know you can go to one business and be satisfied with their service? Stadler Implement, East Highway 6, Minden.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550 AM. KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings.
ESPN Superstation. Well, good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, first-year Nebraska coach Bo Pelini says the Huskers need to focus on finishing the last 3 regular season games strong. Pelini says it makes no sense for him and his players to beat themselves over the head with a 62-28 loss at Oklahoma. Nebraska has a 5-4 record and needs to win one more game to be eligible for a bowl game. The more wins the Huskers notch the rest of the way, the better their bowl destination. Pelini said he senses that the players have a good attitude despite the 34-point loss to the Sooners. Huskers play Saturday at home against Kansas, a team that beat them 76-39 last year. The Jayhawks have not won in Lincoln since 1968. Kickoff will be at 1:30. Pre-game show begins at 8:30 on the Breeze, KLIQ 94.5. It'll also be televised on a pay-per-view basis through Fox Sports Net. Sub-district volleyball tournaments got underway last night. At the C-17 tournament at Aurora, Central City beat Hastings St. Cecilia 25-11, 25-22, 21-25, 25-22. In the other semifinal match, Grand Island Central Catholic over Fillmore Central, 25-11, 25-8, 25-10. Other action at the C-18 tournament, Minden and St. Paul won semifinal matches. C-11, the winners were Hershey and Kearney Catholic. C-29 semifinal winners were Superior and Sutton. Ravenna and Shelton will play in the finals of the C-210 tournament. Giltner and Nebraska Christian were semifinal winners in D-14, and D-19 saw Alma and Silver Lake picking up wins. Adams Central and Hastings High will begin tournament play tonight in Kearney. The Patriots will play Lexington at 6, followed by the Tigers against Holdridge at 7:45. We'll have both games on the Breeze, KLIQ 94.5, beginning with the pregame show at 5:50. And the Nebraska volleyball team has dropped a spot to number 3 in the latest ABCA coaches poll after being upset last week in Colorado. That's sports.
Generally, when you rib someone, it sounds like you're kidding around. But there's no kidding around with the ribbing you'll take at Skeeter Barnes tonight. Because Tuesday, ribs are king at Skeeter Barnes, and everyone knows it's good to be king. All you can eat ribs smoked as only Skeeters can. Served with a variety of sauces up to the sassiest you can take. Only $18.99, all you can eat tonight.
This is Eric Helrigal, Skeeter Barnes General Manager. We're looking forward to your appetite for ribs challenging us tonight at Skeeter Barnes.
Skeeter Barnes, just south of the I-80 Interchange, Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, Bo Pelini's weekly press conference, just a couple of moments away. Daddy, your thoughts as we get ready for our Kansas this week. It is Tuesday.
Well, my thoughts are, I would imagine, and it's got to be my feeling, that this press conference has got to be short. Maybe the shortest one of the year. I don't think he's going to go out there and lay a bunch. You know what? He doesn't want to talk about last week's game, so it's going to be basically about what's ahead. That shortens up the press conference. And I don't know. I bet there's not 5 questions asked about, you know, heck, you go back to some of these press conferences, 3/4 of the press conference is about last week. It isn't going to be like that today.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. I'm sure there'll be some Oklahoma questions, but I'm sure some of the reporters will be taking account of what they asked today, I guess.
Yeah, that's something, because obviously he was irritated the other night and have to go back and look at, you know, had to go back and obviously don't want to push that question as far as that one, that person chose to do it. But nonetheless, you know what? You look ahead to Kansas, and obviously this to me looks like a monster shootout. I mean, this looks like both teams, we're not going to stop Todd Reesing, but I don't think they can stop us. And you're talking a lot of points put up in this game, both teams.
Well, Kansas, they had back-to-back losses to Oklahoma and Texas Tech, but they played Oklahoma pretty close. It was a one-possession switch. They lost by 14. They lost on a last-second field goal at South Florida, where they kind of bunked that up a little bit, and then they were blown out by Texas Tech. So this is a team that's 6-3, should be 7-2, and played Oklahoma tough in Norman.
Yeah, that's a concerning thing, and maybe Oklahoma getting ready, you know, for the games Oklahoma had to play. Maybe that was one that they overlooked, perhaps. Maybe didn't have their full attention on them. I don't know, but that concerned you when they played them that close.
Do you know that out of 16 major statistical categories that they keep, Nebraska is in the top half of the league in 3 of them, 4 of them, and 6th in rushing offense, 6th in sacks allowed, 3rd in pass defense, 2nd in punt returns.
Well, we've returned a lot of punts. We've returned a lot of kickoffs, I should say.
Yeah, not a lot of punts.
Kickoff
returns, 8.
But Paul have 10 kickoff returns last week?
But Kansas is not a whole lot better. They're in the middle of the pack of the conference in just about every statistical category. Not higher than 3rd, and the only thing they're not good in is kickoff returns. They're 12th. So what's that going to tell you? That means Adi Kudelik is not going to be kicking the ball into the end zone. He's going to be trying to make them return it because they can't do good things with the kick return.
Yeah. You know, anytime you can find an edge on any of the special teams. And, you know, I think a lot of people say, well, every time we can boom it into the end zone, and if you get no wind or a little bit of wind, Adi should be able to hammer it in the end zone because he's proven that, well, especially early in the year. Now, maybe the leg gets a little bit of wear on it. Maybe he can't do that all the time, but you certainly expect him to do it quite a bit of the time, I think.
76 points scored against Nebraska in this game last year. 76. I think at that point it was so – Nebraska fan was so numbed, so mind-numbing that they just – you've kind of tried to forget that from your – 76?
You know, I think I go back to remember that exact day and sitting there listening to the post game show and people in frustration, just basically and you know our friend Lane Grindle and Sean Callahan on there had no idea what to say. They did not know what to do for Husker fan out there because the frustration level was really at its breaking point.
Well, it's time now for Bo Pelini's weekly press conference. Here's the coach from Lincoln joining us here. Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio. We'll be back with reaction after the coach's press conference.
I'm trying to think of who he reminds me of. He reminds me of Favre. In kind of he's all over the play. He's he's a competitor. He's a good football player. He'll try and stick it in a hole and makes quick decisions and he'll jam the ball in there and. I don't mean to put too much on the kid by saying Favre. I mean, he's not Brett Favre. I mean, nobody is. But you know, he's just he can run. He can do a lot of different things. He's just a good all around quarterback. He's a leader. I have a lot of respect for him. He's a good football player.
What would add with his feet, the way he can move? I mean, what does that add?
Well, you know. We faced a lot of guys that can move and everything. You know, he'll take the running lanes. I mean, you just have to be really conscious of your rush lanes, and you know, it's not like you know, like Sam Bradford, he was going to stay in the pocket a little more. This guy, if he doesn't like what he sees, he'll take off and run and present. And he, you know, that always presents a little bit of a you know more stress on you at times, but. You know, you can't build your whole game plan around that either. You just got to be conscious. And our D-line's has done a good job of dealing with that.
Well, how is your linebacking core holding up right now? You can assess
certainly. You know, we've been inconsistent there, I'd say. We're working. They're doing some good things. And there's a lot of things we could do better, you know. You know, obviously, you take a little bit of a hit when Phil went down, and we're not real deep there. So, but it's a work in progress.
What have you seen from the KU running game and how it's kind of evolved this year, especially with Sharp handling the load the last 2 weeks? What do you think about him?
He's a good football player. He doesn't need a big crack. You know, he kind of hits it downhill and hard. And they don't run a lot of runs, but what they do well. I think he's a good player. Not the biggest guy in the world, but you know, tough. And you know, he has some speed. You know, he can crease you. Excuse me.
I know the schemes are different, but character-wise, blue-collar teams, do you see similarities between yourself and Kansas in the way that you guys play?
I don't know. You know, I think they're a good football team. They're well-coached. They play hard. I'm sure there's some similarities. There's probably a lot of differences, too. You know, in the style.
How hard is it to keep your guys at an even keel with the kind of wide swing of emotions that go across the state from one week to another, up and down?
Well, I kind of take the approach of keeping them in locked in on reality and be, we're pretty black and white about things. And trying not to be real up and down in our emotions and our approach with the team, and I think that translates over to them, and I think they know what we have in front of us and what we have to do, and I think they're fully prepared to play well and to prepare well. That's all we're focused on right now is today, and making sure we're on point with, you know, our preparation. That's the most important thing, and we wanted to put the rest of what's happened, you know, and we do that good or bad, whether no matter how we play, you know, go move on to the next thing, and that's important for the psyche of this team right now, and I think they've done it well. You know, our guys, I like their approach on Monday. I thought yesterday they came out and they practiced well, and they're not feeling sorry for themselves, because they know they understand what we have in front of us.
Do you think this one hurt more though, just the way that it happened after playing well for three straight weeks and kind of come in and felt like that just a long?
But always hurts. I mean, you want to win. I mean, but trust me, it hurts. But like I said, it was so. I mean, I'm sure you guys felt it. I mean, that was a barrage that happened early. I mean, you want to talk about what can go wrong? You know, what can go wrong did go wrong early in that game, and you know, it was. You know, it gets to a point where you're playing to make sure that you represent yourself well, and you know, you don't. Our guys, you know, they did keep playing hard. They kept fighting, and I do know that, and that it was unusual, but it was, unfortunately, it was over pretty quick. I mean, we got behind so, you know, it was. One of those nightmares that you live.
Hey, Bo, how does the volatile nature of the Big 12, just because there's so many points scored, make that even keel, that need to stay on even keel, even more difficult? I mean, Kansas is they get blown out by Texas Tech, and the next week they turn the tables on K-State. There's really that up and down mentality. What does that do for the difficulty to be on even keel?
No, I think that shows a lot of character in Kansas. And how they approached it, and I think their coaches obviously did a good job of. I'm sure they're, you know, you're not always as good as you think, and you're not ever as bad as you think either. And you just got to move on. You have to make your corrections and be black and white about it. But you need to move on at some point, and you can't. And it's just kind of the same approach we take with our guys within games. Is, you know, and I talk to them about it all the time. You know, if you make a mistake during a football game, you know, you're always going to have adversity happen in a football game, both personally and as a team, and you have to move on from it, because if you don't, and you don't refocus yourself, then you just compound the problem, and one bad play can turn into two, three, four in a row, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a bigger problem than, you know, you got to learn to move on, and that happens both, you know, in a smaller fashion, but then in the big picture too, in the smaller picture and big picture, you know what I'm saying? And we talk about that a lot, and that's always something I've always talked to the teams and the guys I've coached about. It's a big part of being strong mentally and having discipline and focus and that's probably the area where we've struggled the most this year is the consistent level of focus where we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and make busts, and a lot of that's a mental game. You know, sometimes we've gotten beat physically, but the mental aspect of it is something that the mental aspect, the discipline aspect of it. 11 guys doing their job, you know, having their eyes and where they need to be and being really disciplined in how we do things, making our calls on offense and everybody being on the same page on our blocking schemes. And one guy, you know, doesn't do his job, and all of a sudden you look like, you know, as a group, you don't know what you're doing, but it could be one guy just losing his focus. And that, that's something that work. That's a continued work in progress.
That's surprising. That's still happening 9 games into the season.
No, I mean it probably happens more often than I'd like. But trust me, when I tell you, we won the national championship last year at LSU, and it happened there. It's something you want to guard against, and you're always working towards. And like I said, I've never been around a team that's ever played the perfect game. And we're working towards it, but I know what the kids are. You know, it's not from a lack of want to or a lack of effort. Now we just got to keep channeling that effort and that focus and mentality in the right direction, and that's the key.
You feel like you got better every week?
Yeah, I don't know if I can't say we got better last week. I think we're a better football team now than when we first got together. There's no question, not even close. When we started together, I mean. Where we want to be, not nearly where we want to be.
You talk a lot about being a black and white guy, and when bad things happen, a lot of times you talk about lack of execution, breakdowns. Sometimes you take it upon yourself. How much of it is just across the board a talent issue here?
My job as a head coach and our job as a staff is to maximize the potential of the guys that we have here. And I don't feel we've done that yet. And that's something I take personally. And the staff does. You know, we're not playing. I don't believe we've played up to our potential yet. And that's something we're really working towards. And I've said this for a long time, and I really believe this, that when you're dealing with kids at the age that we're dealing with, and I think I just kind of talked about it last week, and I expanded on it a little bit, that, you know, they can't even conceive how much better they can be, how much more there is for them to learn. And we just got to keep pushing forward and keep working and not be satisfied and keep working for progress. Pretty consistently we've made progress, but, obviously the two, Missouri game, the Oklahoma game, we kind of took a step back for whatever reason. But we just got to keep moving forward. We keep working to get to that level we haven't attained yet.
So this is better than a 5-14?
We'll see how it finishes out. You know, how the season finishes out. We got to finish. I think we could very easily be at 7 wins right now. I thought we left 2 games out there that I thought that we should have won. I thought we got, obviously, with what happened in the Oklahoma game, and we got soundly beaten at Missouri by Missouri. And once again, I kind of take that upon myself, that one. The Oklahoma game, that got out of control early. But I thought we left 2 games out there that we had an opportunity to win. But once again, we didn't. We didn't make enough plays to win those football games, and now all we can do is turn this into a 3-game season.
You've got to see 3 or 4 pretty good teams and how you match with them. You've got a good feel what your needs are, where your deficiencies are.
I have a really good idea where we are, what we need to do to make us better, and where we need, how to move forward. You kind of have an idea of what you want to address in recruiting, period, just numbers-wise and that type of thing, as you move forward. And that becomes clear the longer you're together. By no means that's not really, I mean, obviously you're always recruiting, but our job as coaches is to really take the young men that are on this football team. You know, our most pressing thing is to make them as good as they can possibly be right now and here and now. And that's kind of how I go about it.
How much, what do you think those needs are, Bo? Do you have to prioritize a little bit?
you know, I don't really want to get into that right now.
As far as maximizing those young guys' potential, how much, where does a bowl fit in all that?
That would really help us, obviously. Getting to a bowl game, getting, you know, it gives you, I can't think of a number right now, you get a number of extra practices, and that helps you. That's a really big developmentally for your football team and for your young guys. And we've been doing some things. We've already started with our young guys and doing some things there to give them extra reps, extra practice time. We had a scrimmage yesterday, and we'll just keep up in that as the season progresses and the end of this finish. And you'd hope, you know, if we take care of our business, hopefully we'll have some more time and you know, through a bowl preparation. And we got to earn that, obviously.
How much more pressure is there between wins 5 and 6 compared to maybe even the 6 and 7 or 2 and 3 that you're
I don't feel any pressure, honestly.
Well, ESPN showed you the other night several times, very angry on the sidelines, yelling into the headset. Are you concerned at all about how that plays?
Yeah, I am. I regret that. I was made, believe me, I was made aware of it by some of my family and you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I wasn't really as much yelling at a kid as I was on the headset. And yeah, I'm very aware of that. That's something I'll, you know, it's kind of out of character for me in that aspect, and something I got to be aware of, no doubt.
Is there a transition, you know, going from a defensive coordinator where the camera's hardly ever on you to being a head coach where the camera's almost always on you?
Yeah, a little bit, but I was in a position at LSU where actually the camera was on me a lot, so I've kind of dealt with that for the last few years, so that's nothing new to me, but it's, you know, you have to be aware of it, and you got to be careful, and you know, especially someone like myself. I understand. I'm a highly emotional guy, but I got to be careful.
You said that was out of character for you, but I mean, it's been all year, hasn't it? I mean, as far as your animated ways.
There's a difference between being animated and using, you know, some words that you wish you didn't use. You know what I'm saying?
Is it harder than you thought it would be, maybe?
What do you mean?
To deal with the emotion.
No.
Because we all go into it thinking that then when it happens.
I've been dealing with my emotion my whole life.
Are you winning?
Yeah, I really, you know. Ask the players. That's the most, you know. When I start channeling it, if I channel it to players, it's not a concern, you know. Like if I start losing it with my players, I'm probably growing a little bit in the aspect of how to talk to refs. Or what, you know, what to say, what not to say, how to do it. That's part of the deal.
I guess what I'm saying is, to a degree, I know I can say it for myself in certain things, but we learn. Sometimes we have to learn on the job. It's just part of the deal.
Absolutely. And I've said this forever. I don't have all the answers. I'm not perfect by any means. I understand that. What I try to do is always evaluate what's happened to me. It's kind of the same way I do with the team, and try and learn from it. And take what experiences you have and ultimately use it to make you better. I knew there's always going to be things that happen to you, no matter what, whether it's really good or really bad, you know, whatever situation you encounter, there's going to be some things that you like, and there are going to be some things that you're going to feel like, I gotta do better there. And that happens both, you know, in that aspect of it that you're talking about, but also in the coaching aspect of it. And things coming out every week, there's some things that I think I could have done better or should have done better, and some things I like, you know, and you know, you try and learn from it and make it better. You make yourself better in the long run. That's all you can do.
Are you just as passionate about self-evaluating yourself as you are the players in the program? You look at yourself and get mad at yourself?
Absolutely. I probably get madder at myself than I do the team a lot of times. I'm pretty hard on myself. And, I try to take this philosophy. When it's good, it's the players. When it's bad, it's usually us. And I believe, you know, it's just kind of how I've been taught. But by no means do you use that philosophy to just not have any accountability with your team. Your players have to be accountable too, but you know, our job is to get them coached. My job is to coach and represent this university in a particular way all the time. And if I ever fall short, yeah, that's a thing that hurts me personally and something that I know that I'll work hard to get fixed.
Hey, Bo, you said after the Virginia Tech game that I think I asked you if your temper was a concern to you, and you said at the time no. So has that changed?
No, it's really not. You know, there's a difference between being, you know, I think it was the Virginia Tech game. Was that the game I got the personal foul?
What's that?
Yeah, that was the game I had the personal foul.
It was,
you know, like I said, that's part of the deal as far as learning. Like I said, there's a difference between being animated, emotional, but also and here, you know, you can be that way and still handle things correctly. You know what I'm saying there? You know, there's a difference between going over the top and not going over the top. And obviously, if I got a personal foul, I went over the top in that particular instance in that guy's mind, and that's something I got to fix. You know what I'm saying?
Are you at all concerned that by your demeanor that may give the players the feeling that they have license to go
no.
over the top because they've got a rational
Believe me. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of those were, you know, they were bad decisions. I don't think our team, if you ask anybody who we play, our team isn't a dirty football team. I promise you that, and our players know exactly where things stand as far as that's concerned. Because, you know, I will say this is not an undisciplined football team in how they act, either on or off the field, because that will not be permitted ever. And they know that. Go ahead.
Your concern Saturday is more about perception and reputation as opposed to how it affects the team.
I think that all affects the team. I think that definitely affects the team.
So that's the thing. It looks one way to everybody else, but it's not that way in your mind and with the team and the players, but the perception that
team. Yeah, perception is reality. So that's something I gotta fix, right? I understand that. Perception is reality.
Has Osborne talked to you about it?
Oh yeah, I talked to Coach Osborne about it.
Can you?
I mentioned it to him first. I mean, but I'm not talking about, you know, Coach Osborne. You know, he understands there's emotions that happen during a game, but he also understands that, you know, you got to channel those emotions the right way.
So, I mean, what's he told you exactly? Or can you say what's basically his counsel to you about that when you ask him about it?
Well, I mean, we did. We talked about it. I mean, just. You know, I mean, it was a pretty short conversation. I mean, and Coach Osborne knows the type of person that I am and the kind of heart I have and the type of, but he also understands I'm emotional. I know from my standpoint, I got to be smarter than that.
Did he say Dad Gilman?
No.
But it's nice to have him there.
Absolutely.
Dirk was asking about TBS. I saw one TV show. Yeah, I think his territory might have had him by a face mask. Was that one of those things that made him look worse than it was?
Well, it was, but it. It's a young man who took a swing at somebody on the field. And to me, that's something being very undisciplined. That's something that is not going to be tolerated on our football team. And if I need to grab his face mask to, so he gets the point across and he looks me in the eye, I'm going to make a point. And I'm not going to hit the young man. I would never do something like that. But I'm going to get my point across in that instance that that isn't our football team and that ain't going to be tolerated in our program, period. And it's out of character for him to do that. I didn't actually see what happened. I didn't see it live. But I know what happened. You know, I do know I heard that he took a swing. And that was it. I didn't even know. I'm not exactly sure. I guess he got ejected. But I didn't know that. I told him, sit down, you're done for the day.
So you're not going to go Woody Hayes?
What do you think? Maybe I'm one of you guys.
Is Terrence Moore facing more punishment for that? Or?
Terrence, I really don't want to talk. When you get ejected, you got to, you know, you... you get a ruling back from the office, and it's something that he'll probably not be available for the first half of this next game.
Concerned about how some of this may look to potential recruits and their parents watching.
Obviously that's part of it. That's what I'm saying. Perception is reality, and that's something that you got to be careful of. Can we move on to Kansas? No, I mean, I appreciate the line of questioning, but, I mean, we've been through it and over it now. Let's move on to Kansas now.
Did you find any on Murtha yesterday?
Murtha's day-to-day.
So you could potentially go this week?
I would hope. I don't know. I really don't know yet at this point what's going to happen there.
Well, when you talked about the importance of the bowl practices, have you talked to your team about bowl games and stuff like that?
Well, I did talk to him about that, you know, to this three-game season that's coming up is, you know, since we've been together, we've talked about finish, everything you do, you know, on the field, off the field, in the classroom, within drills, everything. And I said, right now we're in the last quarter of the season. We need to finish. And I said, people are going to remember you for how you finished. That's what's going to happen in this season. We got to make sure we do it well. So, yeah, they understand where we are and what we need to do.
A couple weeks ago, we were talking on Tuesday, we were talking about the team buying in, understanding and starting to play. Is that progression still occurring?
Yeah, I really think it is. I think it was a pretty good example of it, just how our team approached practice yesterday.
Quickly scanned through more than 800 posts on the game blog. It was like a play-by-play deal, and a lot of fans were really upset with how the safeties played in that game. What are you doing to address that issue?
Well, those fans aren't always real educated on exactly what's going on the field. I was pretty upset with anybody who made a mistake, so to put it on the safeties is crazy. I don't really. That's why I don't read blogs. I let the film tell me what's happening. A lot of times you got to be careful with making the judgment. Sometimes what people don't understand is sometimes it looks like it's a safety, but there's a trickle-down effect. One guy makes an error, and all of a sudden the safety starts getting out of position to help somebody else, and then the other safety's left hung out to dry on somebody when he should be getting middle help from a safety who is covering up for somebody else. And each play is different, and it's a team game, and everybody has to be on cue and be doing the right things and covering for each other, making sure everybody's in the right spot. So that's when you play good team defense. When everybody's on the same page, everybody's handling their responsibility and getting in the right spots, so that enables you to make plays. But when you start getting guys out of position and doing things that they weren't taught to do, and then people start having to make adjustments, that's when you leave yourself open for big plays, and that's what's happened to us.
Was it communication, or was it some
a little of both? There was communication, there was technique, there was There's a lot of things. We just didn't, I mean, you know, it depends on the play. We'd have to sit down and go through the tape individually, but there's a lot to fix.
Coach, when you talk about the team practicing better, wanting to get better, is that easier after a loss?
Absolutely. This team has the one thing I said, I really believe that this team has practiced hard and taken the right approach when they've walked onto the practice field. And that I think has been that aspect of this football team I like. And I've said this before, what we have to work on is carrying over what we do in practice to the game field. And so when you put on the 3-4 practice clips in a certain coverage or against a certain route, and you do it right 4 times in practice, but then you take that same game clip and you see the same guy who did it right in practice not do it right in the game, that's our job, is to figure out why that happened and how to get that corrected. Because at times that's what happens. You know, you got to take what happened, both good and bad, in practice and use it to make you better so you do the right things on game day. And it's part of the deal.
What do you first think when you came across the score of last year's game against Kansas? That's 76-39.
I wasn't even aware of it, to be honest with you. That was the furthest thing. I had enough problems of my own at that time.
Well, how unique is a guy like Terry Meyer, who leads the team to receiving yards, but also serves as the backup quarterback?
He's a good football player. You know, he catches the ball real well. He's a go-to guy for Reesing, and he's a big guy who can. He's probably sneaky fast, and he's a big part of their offense. He's good. He's a good player.
Did they use him any differently, knowing that he obviously has an arm as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, you always have to be aware of that because he can throw. You know, I've seen him. You know, you've seen him, and you do reverse passes and things like that. And that's just something you have to be aware of, that he has that kind of ability. Most teams have a guy like that, but it's kind of unique to have a guy who's truly been a quarterback.
And that was it for Bo Pelini. They seem to be getting longer press conferences with less content until we get to the very end, Tony.
Well, you got to. It's just somebody's going to have to shut some of those guys off. I mean, how many can you?
We're not hearing about Bo Pelini psychologically.
Well, that I was just going to say. You know, I was panning back in my mind and seeing Tony Soprano sit in that stupid office with that stupid lady, tell him how his life should go. It just about killed me. You know, what was the worst part everybody hated about Sopranos? When he was sitting in that stupid room with that lady talking about his feelings.
Psychologist, right, Derek? That would be a psychologist. Yeah, doctor of psychology.
Dr. Melfi, yeah.
When he did talk a little bit of football, there was some things that concerned him about Kansas. And, again, it's down to it's like everybody that Nebraska plays is brand new. I think except Oklahoma, everybody's brand new about who they play.
You know, I think Bo Pelini just gets – I think he likes a group of players. I think that there's been a bond built. And they talk about going out and practicing. You go back to a year ago, nobody wanted to practice now. These people, I think they continue to want to get better. And the older ones see that there's some light at the end of this tunnel. They want to help the younger players develop and want to see this as an opportunity not to win a national title, not to go to a BCS game, but to build on something and to be the centerpieces of what turned the deal around.
Yeah, when they have Husker alumni weekends in the past, or in the future, excuse me, and look at the teams from the past, and if this thing gets turned around to where everybody hopes it will, some of the loudest cheers will come for the 2008 Nebraska football team for being tough, being mentally strong, working, even though they knew they weren't going to probably win a Big 12 or a national title, and doing the best they could. And I think that's what you're getting. You're getting the best you can, and sometimes Husker fans aren't very pleased with what that is, but I don't think we've ever had lack of effort out there, have we?
No, and I think that's the one thing you're seeing. And he said, I think after the losses, they come get right back in. There's no hanging your head. It's let's go. We got to pick this deal up. These last three games, I mean, right now, you're talking about the present. The next three games are the future of Nebraska football, and we got to correct what we can correct before Saturday and get after it again.
Email us to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be back and finish it up right after this.
It was just last week during our programming meeting that the boss made this comment about the Doug and Daddy show.
We have in effect put all our rotten eggs in one basket. And we intend to watch this basket carefully.
These rotten eggs will be right back on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Tis the season to shop ABC Drug and Gift. November 8th is the ABC Drug and Gift annual Christmas open house. Have your picture taken with Santa from 10 to 1:30 and enjoy refreshments, balloons, and lots of great giveaways. Plus, get registered for the $100 wish list drawing. It's everything you want on your Christmas list, and you could win it. See the great gift and holiday ideas November 8th at ABC Drug and Gift, Kauffman Center, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drugstore.
The Big Red Report with Sean Callahan on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation is brought to you by Timo's Detailing, Kearney's only full-service auto detailer, and by Muddy Mike's Car Wash, where every Wednesday self-serve washes are only a buck.
With today's Husker Radio Report, I'm Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com. As Nebraska took the practice field on Monday, it's pretty clear the head coach Bo Pelini and his staff have sent the message to their football team to forget about Oklahoma and just worry about Kansas.
As far as what we can do about Oklahoma, you can't do anything about it. It's over now. That opportunity will come again next year. And after we got done making our corrections and going through the film, our focus is on Kansas now, because that's all we can take care of.
As for the status of senior offensive lineman Lydon Murtha, Pliny said don't expect to hear anything about his foot injury until probably today. Linebacker Philip Dillard also remains out this week with an ankle injury.
We had an MRI today. We'll have a little more information for you tomorrow about, you know, where he is. And he's feeling better than expected yesterday and today. He's in a boot right now, you know, until we know exactly what how the doctors see it. But he's better. He's a lot better today than obviously he was Saturday.
Reporting with the Nebraska football team in Lincoln, I'm Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com.
Remember back when people had pride in their car?
You can steal my girlfriend. You can kick my dog. Don't you touch my car.
Did damage during the recent tornadoes leave the interior all soaked in your car? Call Timmo's Detailing and Carpet Cleaning at 440-0885. You'll love the fresh, clean, like-new look from Timmo's Detailing. Call for commercial or residential carpet cleaning with fabric protection available. Cleaning up after the storm, Timmo's Auto Detailing and Carpet Cleaning, 1004 Avenue A, behind Kelly Electric in Kearney.
Why do so many people wash their car or truck at Muddy Mike's Car Wash in Kearney? Well, maybe it's because of Muddy Mike's high-pressure, spot-free rinse with purified water. Or Wash 'em Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., all self-serve washes are just $1 for 3 minutes and $2.50 for touchless automatic washes. For added convenience, credit cards are now accepted. For value, performance, and convenience, come to Muddy Mike's Car Wash on the corner of 39th and N. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Big Red Report with Sean Callahan on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation has been brought to you by Muddy Mike's Car Wash, where every Wednesday self-serve washes are only a buck, and by Timo's Detailing, Kearney's only full-service auto detailer.
Hank says it's always better to be safe than sorry. Shop Hardware Hank this week for booster cables from Eastpin. They stretch 12 feet, are 100% copper, and resist tangles. If your battery dies in the cold winter, you don't want to be stuck without booster cables. Booster cables from Eastpin at Hardware Hank. Visit HardwareHank.com for the Hank store nearest you.
You've got a lot.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are.
If it's steak you're looking for, Texas T-Bone is the place for steak. Nobody's going to give you more choices in steak than Texas T-Bone. Nobody. You know, we've got the greatest variety in steaks. We have four sizes of T-Bone steak, four sizes of sirloin, two sizes of ribeye, two sizes of filet mignon. We have New York strip. You can get it sauced. You can get it marinated. You can get it any way you want it, you know.
Steak's done right. Texas T-Bone. Texas T-Bone.
T-Bone.
There is a certified chiropractic sports physician in the house. Good news if you're an extreme sports athlete. Dr. Carey of Carey Chiropractic is there for you. With additional training in sport and sport-like injuries, Dr. Carey can help heal those ailments brought on by extreme sports and hard work. With the Abbott Board Certified Sports Physician designation, Dr. Carey will treat and prescribe proper training programs and schedules to further reduce the risk of unwanted injuries. So lose the pain, get back in the game, and call Dr. Carey now. 398-2255 and let the healing begin.
Doug and Daddy Show Press Conference Day, the special Tuesday extended edition. Doug and Daddy Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by the Dent Popper, the Dent Popper Inbox, of course, on Central Avenue, home of, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, home of the Arma Lining. They've been specializing in paintless dent repairs for years. Stop by, get your free estimate today. Brent says, is it just me or is Bo starting to get comfortable with the press? Brent's starting to get comfortable with calling Coach Pelini Bo. I agree, we need to just move on. 7 wins for us, 8 would be awesome. Hello, Arizona, for a bowl game. What are the odds for a California area bowl? Well, Arizona is about as close as you're going to get to California. The only bowl in California that Nebraska have a chance at is the Holiday Bowl, and they're not going to be high enough to get that. Thanks for the email, Brent. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, you had one more bit of news you wanted to get to.
Well, Terry yesterday sent us an email with Texas Tech, Oklahoma, or excuse me, the four teams, three teams.
If three teams are tied for the Big 12, who goes?
Who goes? And basically, there are 7 steps in that tiebreaker. The records of the three teams will be compared against each other. Well, basically, it goes on and on and on. And finally, number 5 is the highest-ranked team in the BCS series poll following the completion of the Big 12 regular season. That will be your representative.
That's why when we were talking with Lee Barfnack, I said Oklahoma, and he said Oklahoma, because based on who would have the one, you know, Oklahoma would beat Oklahoma State, giving them the loss and giving them the second loss and booting them out of that tie. But there's a definite chance that Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Texas all end up with one loss. Who would represent, who would go to the BCS championship game? Oklahoma looks like they would be the one that would go. Again, they have to beat Texas Tech, which would zip them up in the rankings. Even though Texas beat Oklahoma, I think that's what you're looking at.
Well, it certainly looks like that. And then it falls all the way down to number 7 being, we'll just draw them out of a hat if it becomes that complicated. But
well, we want to thank everyone for staying with us, as always, on this Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, Bo Pelini's press conference every Tuesday. Also, we want to thank Lee Barfnack from the Omaha World Herald, head women's basketball coaches at UNK and Nebraska, Carol Russell and Connie Yori, for joining us on the show today. Coming up tomorrow, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Preview. Football playoffs, of course, continuing. Also, later in the week, Micah Brown is going to join us, the Kearney Bearcat with the Kansas Jayhawks. Going to talk some cross-country with Brady Bonzel at UNK, Bob Davis, the voice of Kansas football, and also with the Royals Radio Network. He will be joining us later on in the week, and more folks being efforted, so appreciate all those folks for joining us on the show.
Hey, we'll look forward to seeing you, actually about 22 hours from now, not the normal 23 here on the Doug and Daddy Show. 1460 on your AM dial in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial in the Hastings area. We'll see you tomorrow. Look forward to a big show because more guests are scheduled, people. We're going to get into high school football playoffs a lot tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!